May it please the court.
Sure.
The question presented here is whether an appellate court can use the verdict director in its review of the sufficiency of the evidence to support the jury's verdict. The state is arguing that the sufficiency of the evidence is a question of law that arises before the case is submitted to the jury, and so that a review of the sufficiency of the evidence should not be done in light of the jury's verdict.
But it's the sufficiency of the evidence to support the theory submitted of the case, right, in the instruction.
Yes.
And but instructions can be erroneous.
Right. That is true. That is true. So in Rule 2911 allows for appellate review of sufficiency of the evidence after a jury trial to review the sufficiency of the evidence to support the conviction. And the jury's conviction is based on the jury's verdict. And the jury is guided in their verdict by the verdict director. The jury must make findings that are in the instruction. They must find that evidence supports beyond a reasonable doubt that element in the instruction in order to reach the verdict.
Isn't the real test what the crime charged is? That you look at the statute of the crime and the elements of the crime as charged, and that's where the sufficiency, you're comparing the evidence to the elements of the crime in the charge.
That is absolutely a part of it. And in this this court in State versus Miller used not only the statute defining the offense, but the evidence that was presented in the case against the defendant, the way it was charged against him, and what was instructed. Because a statute can create many ways to commit an offense. The state must elect how the defendant is alleged to have committed that offense in the charge. And then at trial, the state presents evidence to support what it's trying to prove. But ultimately, the case is given to the jury with an instruction that tells the jury what they must find from the evidence presented in order to find the defendant guilty.
Why doesn't Section 562.046 resolve this case so that the other not guilty verdict doesn't have any application?
Can you please refresh me on what that section is?
It says it's no defense to any prosecution for an offense in which the criminal responsibility of a defendant is based upon the conduct of the other, that such other person has been acquitted or has not been convicted or has been convicted of some other degree of offense.
Well, that wasn't the basis for the Western District's ruling below.
I understand it wasn't. I might not agree with their opinion.
Okay.
I don't think they even cited that statute.
But I'm just saying that the logic of it was not based on the fact that the co-defendant had been found not guilty.
It seemed to be an alternative holding in it. They talked about that and how the co-defendant had not been found.
It was a little bit of a confusing.
And then they went ahead and said, and also.
Well, it was a confusing opinion because by referencing Maldonado's acquittal mm-hmm. on appeal, it seemed to place an undue focus on the result in that case being applicable to this one. But what there was.
Do you agree that it doesn't have anything to do with this case?
The only thing that it has to do with this. Right. The only thing it has to do with this case is that it provided the state notice that the co-defendant, who was being charged as an actor together with Mr. Zatina Torres, had been acquitted.
Right. And but the statute says that doesn't matter at all as to this case.
Right.
So isn't this just a straight sufficiency case?
Yes.
With the understanding that it doesn't matter what the result was of that other case.
That's true.
The
yes,
jury could have found here based on this evidence if there were sufficient. Assume there were evidence was presented in this trial showing the co-defendant had done enough to be guilty of a crime. That would be permitted. There wouldn't be collateral estoppel as to your client.
That is correct.
Okay.
And I think that if that had been presented, then the Western District would not have reached the result they did. But what the Western District said is that the evidence presented in Mr. Zatina Torres' case, this case, was nearly identical to the evidence presented in Mr. Maldonado's case.
Well, I'm again, why does it matter?
It doesn't.
Okay.
The court was just explaining its own logic. They're saying we review it, and what they're basically saying is we find that there is insufficient evidence in this case to show that Maldonado possessed.
And did that depend on the finding in the other case?
No.
Okay.
No.
So tell us why not.
Well, because the facts in this case don't show that Mr. Maldonado or Mr. Zatina Torres, well, if we just, are you just asking about Mr. Maldonado or?
Yeah, that question was.
Okay. So Mr. Maldonado was the passenger in this case, and the drugs, as you know, were hidden in the bed liner of the pickup truck, open bed. And because both of them were in the truck, it's a joint possession case, and there has to be some evidence connecting, showing that one or the other of them or both of them had the intent to exercise dominion or control, that they possessed those drugs. And there was no evidence showing that as to Mr. Maldonado. He was the passenger. There were no commingling of his belongings.
If I understand you correctly on the sufficiency issue, you're saying there may have been sufficient evidence to submit the question of your client's personal primary responsibility, liability, guilt for possession of the drugs, but they chose to submit it on the alternative ground that he assisted Mr. Maldonado, and there was insufficient evidence to support that. So,
yes, that was the Western
District. Was he charged alternatively as the primary actor and as the accessory?
Yes, Mr. Zatina Torres was charged with either acting alone or knowingly in concert with Mr. Maldonado.
And I ask that because the questions have been asked, you look at the sufficiency to support the charges, but it's the charge that was submitted you have to look at. So if the evidence was sufficient to support second degree, but you submitted first, or first degree, but you submitted second, you don't look at things that weren't sufficiency to support theories that were not submitted, I think is your argument.
Yes, that is. That is. And so in this case, what the jury was told was that it must first find that either Mr. Zatina Torres or Mr. Maldonado possessed, that Mr. Zatina Torres knew about the drugs, and that Mr. Zatina Torres acted together with or aided Mr. Maldonado in committing the offense of trafficking. Well, what the Court of Appeals held below and what I will argue here is that there was no evidence that the two were acting together in order to commit the offense of trafficking. There,
you argue that the trial court erred by not granting your motion for judgment of acquittal.
And in sentencing the defendant upon the jury's verdict.
But did you make this argument at any time to the Court of Appeals or to the trial court? Did you argue that they are submitting on this ground and therefore there's insufficient evidence to find he was acting in concert?
No, and I believe that if they would have been able to articulate that argument, then we wouldn't have had the plain error on the instruction that we submitted in point two.
There was no objection to the instruction. So you only argued that there was insufficient evidence to prove he was guilty himself. Is that right? You based your claim of insufficient evidence that there should have been an acquittal based on the conduct of Mr. Zatina Torres.
I argued both because it was a joint possession case, so my argument encompassed both arguments about why there was insufficient evidence to prove that Mr. Zatina Torres possessed and also Mr. Maldonado.
Can you point to that in the record where you argued there was insufficient evidence to submit accessory liability?
Are you talking about at the trial record?
Yes.
Because I don't believe that that's
was the part question of the about the trial.
I'm sorry, I misunderstood. No, I don't believe that was argued in
what
in
was
the trial
argued? Was there a motion made before the case was submitted to the jury?
I don't believe so. Regarding the accessory liability and the fact that I don't believe so. I mean, just the motion for judgment of acquittal, but I don't think there was ever argument.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Was it made on the claim of accessory or accomplice liability?
I'll have to respond to that in rebuttal because I just need to look and refresh my memory.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Here, really, in between the two the two defendants, Mr. Maldonado and Mr. Zetina Torres, there's evidence, excuse me, the difference between the cases that were presented for both of these men being in possession in this case, the argument was that for Mr. Zetina Torres, the fact that he had delayed responses to the police officer, the fact that he was driving the truck with a single key, and the fact that he was the owner of the truck, those were the three factors that only applied to Mr. Zetina Torres, that the state used to argue that he was more culpable and had knowledge and was guilty of trafficking.
There was nervousness and inconsistent answers to questions between the two as well.
That applied to both of them, yes.
Right.
And then these just arguably would apply to Mr. Zetina Torres. The delayed responses, he was a Spanish speaker. He had a Spanish translator at both trial and at sentencing. The single key was argued by the state to show that in a drug trafficking case, single keys are often used by drivers because they're going to pass the car off to someone else, and it's maybe a rental car, and they don't want to pass all their personal keys off.
There was also evidence that he was driving and that he exited at an exit prior to an announced drug stop. So that's also evidence of his conduct.
Yes, it is. And, you know, I just think it's important to note that here the police officer, he took that exit, and the police officer testified that there was nothing at that exit, no reason why anyone would take that exit. However, within 12 miles, they had reached the city limits of Marshall, and the reason that he was able to pull Mr. Zetina Torres over was that he failed to lower his speed when the speed limit dropped as they were entering into city limits.
But there was no testimony from either one of them that they were headed to Marshall.
Actually, Mr. Zetina Torres did tell the police officer that
he was heading
to Marshall.
That was where he said they were going,
yes,
to visit somebody, but he didn't know the person's or was it his co-defendant? He didn't know the last name.
His co-defendant said they were visiting someone in Sedalia, and he wasn't sure. But it's interesting to note that the jury deliberated for 2 hours in this case, and they submitted six questions to the court. And one of the questions that they submitted, this is at page 26 of the legal file. They wanted to know if there was a picture of where the GPS was actually programmed to be going at the time, not the list of the cities, but the directions that were in motion at the time. Were they going to Sedalia or were they going to Moberly? And I think that that's an indication that the jury really was considering whether, you know, that was an inconsistent statement given by the defendant that would go to his knowledge and trying to be evasive about the drugs in the car. Missouri does not recognize the presumption that the owner of a car knows everything that's in the car. If there are two people in the car that have equal access to it, then there has to be something additional that links someone to the drugs in order to say that that person has constructive possession of the drugs. And here, you know, the state argues that one of the things is that, well, the defendant was in possession of the key that would have opened the tailgate to the truck. Well, this was an open truck bed, and the pictures from the case will show that the bed liner, the police officer, all he had to do was pull it over, and you can see the bag down in there. And anybody could have put that in there. So the fact that they had the key is really kind of irrelevant here, as well as the odor. They talked about having a masking agent.
Are you arguing that they could not have submitted the case on primary liability?
No, I'm not arguing that.
Would you concede that they could have?
In fact, yes, my point too, the argument for plain error in the jury instruction was that the state should have submitted it as sole liability as to Mr. Zetina Torres, because by the time this case went to trial, it was 9 months after Mr. Maldonado had been acquitted, and the state really didn't present any different evidence in this case to show that Mr. Maldonado had anything to do with the drugs anymore, anymore.
Just because he was acquitted doesn't mean that there wasn't sufficient evidence to let the jury decide, though, correct?
They presented it to the jury. The jury, we don't know what the jury decided. We don't know if the jury decided that Mr. Maldonado possessed or Mr. Zetina
Torres possessed. But whatever they decided.
Isn't that why we have the statute that says that doesn't matter?
Got to look
at it. I mean, it either matters or it doesn't matter.
Right. No, it doesn't. The prior acquittal doesn't matter. But what the Court of Appeals said is we're looking at the evidence that was presented. Right? I am over time. I'm so sorry.
And I found the motion for judgment of acquittal, and it doesn't break out separately the defendant versus primary liability versus accomplice liability. It says in multiple places, failed to prove the elements of the crime charged, failed to establish the alleged offense was committed by the defendant or that he had the requisite mental state and so forth. So I
don't think anyone was paying attention. The charge wasn't even amended to from first degree trafficking, even though he'd already been to trial and acquitted on first degree and convicted of second degree. There wasn't even a new information filed. So I'm not really sure anybody was paying attention.
Any other questions? Thank you. We'll hear from you on rebuttal.
May it please the court. Missouri does not recognize the distinction between principal and accessory liability. In this case, the defendant was charged with drug trafficking in the second degree, and the state, to present sufficient evidence, had to show that he possessed more than 90 grams of material containing methamphetamine. The state's evidence established that because appellant was driving on I-70, which was a well-known drug corridor. He exited at the exit to avoid a drug trafficking stop ahead. He appeared nervous, gave inconsistent stories between him and the co-defendant as to how long they've known each other, where they were going. The defendant claimed that they were going to go another pickup truck and take it back to Kansas City, but the officer noted and to work on the engine. But the trooper noticed that neither defendant nor the co-defendant were dressed properly for doing the mechanical work. Also, it required two people to drive back to trucks, and the co-defendant had no valid driver's license. When the defendant was told that, he said he knew about it, and he said the co-defendant was with him just for the ride. The co-defendant, on the other hand, claimed that they were going to Sedalia. Neither appellant nor co-defendant could tell the officer who they were going to visit. The officer also noticed a drug masking agent. The methamphetamine was freshly produced. It was still wet, and it was a great quantity of methamphetamine that was worth, if individually sold, the methamphetamine was going to worth $43,000. Appellant produced a registration for the truck, and it was registered to a third person, Mardonio Benitez. And the state's evidence showed that appellant was, in fact, Mardonio Benitez. He had been arrested prior, and he had used that name.
What was the evidence regarding Mr. Maldonado?
That they were acting together, that goes to
that Mr. Maldonado, because the submission was that he acted in concert with Mr. Maldonado. So what is it show Mr. Maldonado did?
With regard to the sufficiency of the evidence, the court does not look at the jury instruction.
You don't have to have evidence to support the elements you submit?
The elements in this case are possession of 90 grams of material containing methamphetamine.
I understand your argument, but I'm questioning why that's I think you're applying it wrong. They're not alleging the instruction was written incorrectly if you were for submitting accomplice liability. So they're not saying there was instructional error. They're saying you have to have evidence to support each of the paragraphs, each of the elements submitted in the instruction. And there was no evidence to support the one that said he acted in concert with Mr. Maldonado to commit the crime. Isn't it the law that you must have evidence to support every element of an instruction?
Of the jury instruction, yes.
Instructional error because it's not written wrong. It's that you can't submit something that there's no evidence to support.
Well, if the instruction is not supported by the evidence, then the proper remedy is if there is sufficient evidence that the defendant committed the crime, but the instruction for some reason is not correct.
You don't know if the jury wasn't asked to find he committed the crime there was sufficient evidence for. It was asked to decide if he committed a crime there wasn't sufficient evidence for.
If the jury instruction is incorrect, then the remedy for that is a new trial, and a new jury instruction that is correct must be submitted. The remedy for insufficient evidence is discharging the defendant. He did not commit any crime.
What if the jury had, the state had submitted an instruction on some completely unrelated crime? They just messed up and submitted something that he was not charged with. Would the solution be a new trial?
If he committed
the crime. What if it was stealing? Okay, mm-hmm. Even though there's nothing to do with stealing here.
Well, if the court finds that the defendant committed the crime of drug trafficking in the second degree, but for some reason the instruction is completely...
Well, what's the jury that decides that, not the court? We decide if there was sufficient evidence for it.
But the jury's finding is going to be based on erroneous instruction, and the remedy for that...
No, it's on
the... The jury found there was sufficient evidence for the instructed crime in this case.
Correct.
Already. So you're saying...
I'm saying for the sufficiency of the evidence, it does not matter whether the evidence showed that he was a principal or he was an accomplice. If the jury erroneously was instructed on accomplice liability, then that's an instructional error. It doesn't mean
it's
that
not,
he...
There's nothing wrong with the instruction. It just wasn't supported by the evidence.
And in this case, it was. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to differentiate between sufficiency and instructional error. As far as the instruction in this case, it was properly submitted because it gave the jury the opportunity to decide which actor committed which crime. In this case, they were acting together. They were driving together on the highway. The evidence showed that the co-defendant, the passenger, had superior view of a navigation device, and it supported an inference that he was navigating the trip. Just as the defendant, he was nervous, and he gave inconsistent stories as to how long they've known each other. One said 1 year, the other said 2 months. And the co-defendant also was expected to be driving one of the vehicles, could be the vehicle that contained the drugs back.
You're arguing there was sufficient evidence that the accomplice also
to support an instruction on accomplice liability. Okay. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you. No, it's helpful.
And the evidence doesn't have to be that the other person was primarily the bad actor and this person just helped them. It can be those two people together were committing this crime.
There could be one of them could be committing one act, another person could commit another act, or they both could have committed an act. For example, in this case, the drugs were hidden under a bed liner. The jury could very well find that it took two people, for one to lift the liner and the other to hide the drugs underneath it. That it could be, it's necessary to have two people traveling together when the drugs are on the back of the truck. So if the driver steps out of the truck, nobody would come and steal the drugs. And whereas here, the evidence is not clear which actor committed what element of the crime, the disjunctive is proper, and that's how this jury was instructed. And there was sufficient evidence to support the appellant's conviction for drug trafficking, and also there was no manifest injustice from submitting a jury instruction in a disjunctive on accomplice liability. Does the court have any further questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, is my memory correct that this case was tried once before?
Yes.
And there was sufficient evidence? They found sufficient evidence that he was liable as a principal in the prior case. Right?
Yes, that was part of the opinion, but the opinion was actually a reversal for a Brady violation.
No,
and because of the Brady violation, the defendant was compelled to testify, so the evidence was different at the first trial.
Yes. And so the question, you might be focused around the question I was going to ask then. What is different about, lacking in this record that was contained in the first record, if anything?
It was the jury's ability to assess Mr. Zatinas Torres' credibility as a witness when in the first trial He testified himself as to the circumstances surrounding the event of the traffic stop.
So in this case, he didn't testify.
He did not testify. Okay. I think it's also important to note that in the second case, you know, perhaps it wasn't that the state just missed the fact that, you know, that things needed to be changed. You know, the state submitted that theory of accomplice liability and used that to its advantage in order to admit hearsay statements of the co-defendant. The defendant objected when the police officer was going to testify as to responses given to him by the co-defendant, and there was a discussion on the record, and the state argued that these were statements of a co-conspirator and that they should come in, and that is why they came in. And those statements were statements by Mr. Maldonado that showed a different response to a similar question that was given to Mr. Zatina Torres.
Your opposing counsel says that there was sufficient evidence, even if you accept that each element has to be supported by sufficient evidence of what the state chose to submit on. There was sufficient evidence that defendant acted together with or aided Maldonado in committing the offense. That it's not required to prove that Maldonado alone would have been guilty of the offense, did everything that would constitute the offense, but you can add together their activities. Can you respond to that?
Well, I agree that the way it was charged, it was that either Mr. Zatina Torres or Mr. Maldonado possessed the drugs, that Mr. Zatina Torres knew about the drugs, and that those two elements together created the offense of trafficking in the second degree. So the jury could have found under the instruction that Mr. Maldonado possessed the drugs and that Mr. Zatina Torres knew about them, and that is what caused trafficking in the second degree. And our argument was that there was insufficient evidence to connect Mr. Maldonado to the drugs. They had their cell phones. There were no incriminating text messages found on the cell phones. There was no other evidence inside the cab of the car that showed any connection between either one of them, particularly Mr. Maldonado, to the drugs that were hidden in the bed liner. There were no belongings of Mr. Maldonado's that were commingled with the drugs.
What about the state's suggestion that the photograph would suggest that it took two people to put the drugs where they were?
Well, you can look at the photographs from the case and see the officer's hand just pulling over the bed liner, and you can see the package of drugs in there. So I think it's instructive to look at the pictures. One of the factors is also regarding Mr. Maldonado's participation in the crime or Mr. Zatina Torres. They talk about the location of the GPS device. Mm-hmm. And you can see in the pictures where the GPS device is located, whether the driver would have been able to see where it was going. And again, that goes as well to the jury's question about, well, where was that? Where were directions, you know, being programmed for, and were they using that? So,
Your time is up. Are there any other questions? The case will be submitted. Thank you.